I'll be here with the light on you. Decide what you abide. What's the point of living if you can't have any fun? What's the point of heaven if you don't know anyone? So lay with me in the magic, breathe it in, break your habits, rest a spell, then raise some hell. I don't understand why you gotta work so hard. The world is full of players, only I know where the stars. What's the point of doing anything if you can't? Stop your toil, get distracted. Honestly, believe in we. What's the point of loving if you keep it on the shelf? You leave me all alone and I am nothing by myself. What's the point of doing anything if you can't?
That was an artist new to me named Lainey Jones. Lainey Jones visits Steve's Guitars tomorrow night with her band The Spirits, and they are performing a tune there called Do What You Want. And since I am doing what I want this weekend, I won't be able to see her. I'll be stumbling around in broad daylight this weekend up in Wyoming. Otherwise, you'd see me there. Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. And next Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m., Dance Initiative will present at Sustainable Settings the full live dance and music performance from the outdoor dance film Letter to Congress, A Wild Sanity, which advocates for the preservation of wild public places for the sake of American spirit and sanity. Letter to Congress was created by Roaring Fork Valley resident Deborah Cawley and will be performed by the dancers of Co-Motion, a conscious movement project, and local indie folk band Raccoon Fight. And here to tell us about the show are Deb Cawley. Welcome back, Deb.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Carolyn Yates is here too, one of the dancers. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. So the genesis of this comes from a letter that Wallace Stegner wrote to Congress. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, and actually, I'm going to correct myself on that. I think I wrote that in my press release, but the beginning of this project really started with Piece of Wild Things by Wendell Berry.
Oh.
And I don't have that poem in front of me, but that poem is, I think he starts by saying something...
profound.
Yeah, something profound, of course. But it's along the lines of, when everything in the world has fallen apart, I go, you know, where nature is, where wild things are, and I take a moment and I, you know, look around and I see all these creatures just going about their business, and the stars are there and the sun is there and the water is there, and I think he says, I rest in the peace of wild things. And so I really wanted to capture something through dance, that was along the lines of kind of, bringing yourself back into a sense of peace, or for me, what feels like a sense of sanity when you feel like things are really crazy in the world and you just need a moment to feel through who you are, how you fit in, and see how the world is still functioning despite human drama.
That's a laudable goal.
Yeah. And then I remember that Wallace Stegner in 1960 wrote a letter along this, the same lines, but it was a letter to Congress. And in light of just what's feels like is happening, I mean, I think it's been happening for a long time, but it feels really relevant right now with policymaking and our Antiquities Act and national monuments. I really kind of felt like the advocacy piece of that message was important. And I felt like the message of our public lands and natural places for our like sense of character and sanity was missing from the conversation about why public places are important, public wild places are important to us.
Mm. Well, for centuries, maybe millennia, probably many, many, many millennia, human beings have gone out there because that's where you see these kinds of things. So I'm wondering what a dancer felt or feels and sees relevant to that when you're out there at Maroon Lake or wherever else you filmed this.
Yeah, I'm actually going to let Carolyn talk about that. I have my own ideas of what dancing on public lands felt like, but I dragged six other dancers out there and they were all willing, so that means that they shared a sentiment. But what was it like to dance on public lands?
It was a beautifully complex experience, I would say, as a trained dancer used to dancing in a sort of sterile environment, a square room, a flat floor. You get really used to that. You get used to where's the front, where are the wings, you know. So here we go outside, which I'm also very passionate about our wildlands and our open spaces. How much dancing have I done outside other than maybe a festival? You know, it's like, okay, wow. So on the one hand, it was an embodied experience, very different as a dancer because you're dealing with elements. Here it is. Here's the elements. Bugs. Uneven ground. Oh, there's a bush in my way. Literally, you know, like, oh, what are we going to do about that? Okay. And we, the biggest question we constantly had was, what's front? What's your front? What's your front? And and the architect in the group was like, Carolyn, look, you got to, this is your front. And I'm like, no. And she's like, yes, because I was going to go a totally different direction as her and I couldn't see it. But so that was just an added element on top of the elements to bring to the dance, which made it sort of wild in itself. And then the moments when I wasn't dancing and I was, you know, not in a scene and able to just behold this project and look at the scope of where we were, you know, watching my friends and my colleagues doing this and just sitting there and going, oh, this is really cool and just stunning and beautiful and what an incredible opportunity to bring a love of nature and being in nature with a love of dance and movement and bringing that dance out of this sort of calculated, as I said before, sterile environment into the wild. And for us as dancers, I think to really let go of that perfectionism, which tends to go hand in hand, I think, as dancers, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. But you get out there, we were like, and it's good enough.
Pretty good. That's yeah, pretty we tripped good. A lot, but that was part of the experience.
Totally. Huh. Totally. Yeah.
So if you're letting go of perfectionism in that way, does that mean that you're improvising?
I think so.
Yeah.
You have to, and you, maybe even the same way when you pack up to go out for, you know, weekend warrior, you know, whatever. And it's like you prepare for all scenarios, but sometimes you're improvising in life and especially in the wild. So improvising together, and it's a good test of the group. How well do we work together? Did we feel that person trip and fall? Did we wait for them? Did we somehow just make it work?
Yeah. I would say tripping and falling became a part of choreography.
Well, the trailer I saw, I think it was on the Indiegogo site, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I think it was you dressed in white rolling around in the dirt.
Yeah, that's
you're not
part
afraid
of the,
to get down and dirty.
Well, I didn't ask anyone else to get down and dirty, so I thought I might as well make myself willing.
Okay.
Up to the test.
Make us get wet.
I did
cold
make, yeah,
and wet. No,
I did have them get wet. Everyone swims, not
it's
everyone
great
rolls around in the dirt for fun. So, but yeah, that's actually part of the piece. The whole narrative and choreography, it ends with an earth baptism. That's what we've been calling it. It's not outright called that at any point in the narrative or in the music, but it does end on like a getting dirty, like putting earth on you and then washing it off with water. So, and during the live performance, there's going to be a bit of that. Although we don't have a body of water at the performance, we have a ditch.
Uh-huh.
An irrigation ditch.
But you do have a fabulous view of
amazing
Mother Mountain.
Amazing view.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be right behind us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mount Sopris will be right behind us for the final scenes. So that'll be great.
Huh. Now, how do you rehearse something like this?
Good question. Mm-hmm. I feel, and I'll let Carolyn talk about this in a second, but I kind of feel like this project has been a very fragmented rehearsal process because the primary project has been the film, which we want to get to Congress when it's done. And film doesn't happen. You don't film a story from start to finish when you're creating a film. So the experience of piecing it together was very fragmented. I was kind of jumping around trying to figure out how everything was going to piece together. And then the way that I presented the material to the dancers was like, exactly of that same manner. It was very fragmented. I think they were like, okay, I don't really know how this fits in with anything, but I will do it. And then of course, when we got out, and you know, sometimes whole scenes that will take place as a section in the film would be filmed in like five different locations between like Independence Pass and Rudai Reservoir. You know, we've some scenes had like several different locations that were that the dance was captured in, and only now have you guys even and we still haven't danced it from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So I think even now it feels kind of like a giant question mark. So what do you?
Yeah, a bit. I personally haven't done a whole lot of dance for film, so that was again the experience of when you work on a dance piece. It's from start to finish. It has the continuity. So taking it apart to do scenes was like, oh, okay. There's a lot of freedom in that. It's like, whoops, oh, stop, start again. And now shifting into, we're going to be live and outside. There's going to be those elements. We're starting to understand the flow of the scenes as we had, you know, done them and we're putting them together. I don't think we've yet done it from start to finish mm-hmm. with the entire group. There's so many sections that we rehearse them, three different rehearsals over a week. So we're looking forward to this week
yeah.
of being on the grounds. I'm really excited that we'll have three rehearsals at sustainable settings to really work some of that out. And that feels good to me. I feel like we're going to be solid by Friday, but it's a unique process.
And we haven't done anything with the musicians present.
Right.
So that's also interesting. I mean, I have because I've been working with them and I sing in some of the songs, but we haven't actually danced with them playing the music live. I've gotten recordings and we've been rehearsing with recordings.
Well, let's talk about the music.
Yes.
Raccoon Fight.
And they're performing at the Rifle Farmers Market in an hour or
oh.
so. So that's why they couldn't join us in here. But so Raccoon Fight is a band that technically I'm in, though I seem to miss all the gigs. but it is Sarah Morehouse, who goes by Sunny, and Morgan Williams, who is also my spouse. And then Eric Baumheyer, who a lot of people know because of the African drumming and dance community and marimbas. He plays the cajon and some various percussion instruments with us. And I just really kind of like, I feel like the music is inside of me. And so I wanted to use it in some capacity. We kind of picked certain songs that that were already in the mix, like they already had existed, and I fit them into the layout of how I wanted to use them. And then we kind of shifted some of them to become instrumental or extended introductory sections of music before an actual song started, so that we have some sound score underneath narrative. And the narrative is a letter. It's actually a letter. It's probably like 2 pages long. It's quite a hefty letter to Congress. And I actually wrote it, but it went through a severe editing process with Morgan, who's actually a talented writer. I'm really grateful for his skills, because I was able to wade through a lot of wordy nonsense to find what I meant. So anyways, they have a lot of really beautiful soundscapes underneath words, and then we go into full songs. I think we use 3 full songs in the actual score, and then the credits have another song in them.
And the dancers are singing too?
Ooh, yeah.
Really?
They just learned that last week. They're singing just at the very, very end. Uh-huh. And they're only singing a chorus line, but it's a sweet ending to what feels like a long piece of choreography.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So really interesting. Mm-hmm. Is the film complete?
No.
No, not yet?
No, so the film isn't complete. Jeremiah Hutchins, who grew up in the Valley, is our filmmaker, and he actually is living and working out of Santa Cruz these days. So he came out to film, and then after that, we did the sound score, so we couldn't edit that. And then we realized, well, we really want to film the live performance, and there might be some material in the live performance that we want to use in the film, because we think things will take on a different meaning when it's performed from start to finish and in front of an audience. So he's going to film the performance. And then after that, he and I will sit down and kind of put together the framework. I mean, we already have a storyboard in the frame. I mean, I already have an idea of how I want things, but things might shift a little bit with how we use the footage that we have. And I think what I like about his style is that he's really talented at abstracting footage, and it still takes it's so you can have an abstract scene or an abstraction of a scene that we filmed from start to finish, and there was a storyline, and he can still kind of take that, and you can kind of understand what was happening, or the abstraction actually deepens the meaning. And because it's dance, it's already abstract. Dance is not, or at least our dance is not literal at any moment in time. I'm looking forward to seeing kind of like what liquid or fluid experience we'll have creatively laying everything out. Ultimately, he's the filmmaker and I'm just a bossy pants. So he'll make all the final calls on stuff. But
and are you going to have a hand in editing, or is that his deal too?
I would really like that to be his deal. Uh-huh. He probably wants me to give some feedback, but not be a bossy pants, as I just said. That's official on radio, on public radio.
You just admitted
Deborah
it.
Is a bossy pants.
Yep, 5,000 people go, I always thought so.
Yeah, no. They're going to be like, yeah, it's true.
She's a visionary. No, truly, it's an honor to work with her. She's incredibly creative. The depth of what I've learned, I've only started working with Deb since the beginning of the year, but this project was like music, and I'm calling it spoken word, but it comes out of her letter, you know, to Congress, and then the choreography and just the big picture. This whole vision was just, it's really astounded me. So
well, thanks, Carolyn. I'm glad you're a part of it too.
You can be bossy pants.
Bossy pants for this project.
Yeah.
So you say that you want to give that film to Congress because they obviously don't have time to go out and appreciate the wild. What's your strategy for getting it in Congress? How are you approaching that?
I'm looking for people to help me strategize, individuals or organizations. I feel like I'm kind of auditioning people who can offer me what I feel like I need to get it to Congress in the most effective way possible. One of my really good friends is Zane Kessler, and he was the director of the Thompson Divide Coalition. He and I have been talking about putting together a strategy and a and getting a little bit more clear about what that could look like. He'd really like to see it be a Capitol Hill visit, which...
A personal visit.
Yeah, that intimidates me. But this whole project has intimidated me, and so I kind of feel like I've gotten this far, and I feel really strongly that this is the number one priority. It's more important than getting it into film festivals. It's getting it to Congress or lawmakers.
Wow, so that's laudable.
It's big.
That's great.
So I have to buckle down and stay the course, I think, on that. And but yes, I am still looking for some people to assist, because that's a very gray area for me. I don't have any experience with that, but that is definitely the next step. And so once the film is done, or actually as we're working on the post-production of the film, I'll be working on that plan.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Wow. And does that plan maybe include showing the film on the floor of Congress? I'm sure that would...
I don't know.
Love that.
Katrina Byers.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Would love to see me. And if, Katrina, if you're listening, the cat's out of the bag. She wants me to perform on the floor. Uh-huh. And honestly, I can't imagine doing that
I wonder if that's ever
years.
Been done.
I know.
How about that?
But I don't know if you can show a film on the floor either. So.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
But you can certainly show it to your congressman and your senator, sure. Several of whom are probably in agreement with what you're trying
sure.
to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we do a flash mob? We could just show up.
A flash mob. Yeah, so I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's that's the big next step. And I wish I had more concrete details, but I honestly feel like I've only been able to chip away at each section of this project at a time. So that's the next big... I feel like that's actually like the iceberg sitting underneath the tip.
Okay. Well, sure. And do you have a time in mind that you'd like to have that accomplished?
Well, I think some of that will depend on who I work with to make it happen. I imagine making a lot of headway in the fall. I don't know. To be honest. Huh. And I don't know how quickly things can move when it comes to working with legislators.
I think I could guess, but
does it feel slow in your
mind? It's pretty slow,
yeah.
But, you know, you start, what's the Chinese saying? You start a 10,000-mile journey with a single step.
A single step, yeah. And we've taken a few steps already.
Yes, you have.
So that's good.
Yeah. Well, some of those steps, as you mentioned, lead to sustainable settings a week
yes.
from tonight. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's two nights, Friday mm-hmm. and Saturday.
Yeah. And we actually have a time adjustment to share.
Oh.
We are going to do a soft start at 6:30. That gives Raccoon Fight a 30-minute live set of music to play. So you're invited to come up and listen to them. You know, that'll give everyone a time to get situated. The parking is going to be really tight, so we're encouraging people to carpool or ride their bikes. We will have some limited overflow parking, but that is an option. So the gates for parking will open at 6:15, so you can come up, get your camping chair set up, listen to Raccoon Fight for about 30 minutes, and then we'll commence the dance performance part, which does move from location to location. So people should be prepared with like proper shoes and, you know, pay attention to what the weather's going to do if you need to bring a layer. And then the piece is about 45 minutes. So we'll be ending at 7:45. The days are a little shorter. There's plenty of daylight still. But, you know, if you want to hang out and linger, bring a headlamp. But there should be plenty of light to get back to cars.
And is it
and
a
bikes.
Ticketed event?
It is a ticketed event. And okay. We would love for people to buy their tickets through Dance Initiative, who's producing the performance. And that's www.danceinitiative.org. The tickets are $15. It'll just help us figure out what our parking situation is. So it's the parking is kind of a big deal up there. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Let's also, before I let you ladies go, talk a little bit about your Indiegogo campaign.
Sure.
That's is 8 days left. Is that what
our final day of the performance is our last day of the Indiegogo campaign. I kind of did that on purpose, just to give people a chance to think about both events at the same time instead of being confused about two separate things, they still might be confused. Indiegogo versus performance. So the Indiegogo is the crowdfunding campaign that supports the production of the film. We're getting really close to making our goal, which is 6,000. I think. Oh, you wrote down what we were.
That's
at.
Right. You have a $6,000 goal, and I checked it. Well, about an hour ago, it was at 4,628. You're 77%
of the way. 77% of the way, which is great because as of this morning, that we weren't that close, and we have a lot of really great community members and sponsors on board with that. Carbondale Arts, Dance Initiative, Women for Wildlands is a partner. Lux Wellness is a partner. True Nature is a partner. Who am I forgetting? Oh,
Cool Brick.
Cool Brick Studios is a huge partner, and they've recorded our music, and Dave has been incredible. I just spent about 2 hours with him this afternoon fixing some tracks. So we have a lot of existing partners, and we're just needing just a little bit more support to get us all the way through the post-production and make sure everyone is well paid so we can guarantee that we produce a film well. That's important to be articulate for our Congress members. And then I wanted to let people know that if they want to get a ticket and come to the performance, but they also want to contribute to the film, if they give $25 through the Indiegogo campaign, that includes a ticket to the performance. They can choose which night they want to come.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay. And so folks. And but if they also can't do that and they want to come to the performance, that performance still helps support the artists who've been a part of it. So that's $15, danceinitiative.org. Or you can go to the Indiegogo and give $25 and still get a ticket.
Hmm. What a fascinating project.
Thank you. Thanks for being interested.
Well, you know, it's easy to be interested in things that are interesting.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I wanted to add one more thing, and that's that Women for Wildlands is going to, they're doing a Cocktails for Conservation event with Wilderness Workshop on Friday before the event. So you can go to the Marble Distillery. Ooh, I think it's it might be the Woody Creek Distillery.
Check
that out. You can go and if you RSVP for that event, you can go to that event. And they're going to have a conversation about innovative advocacy and staying motivated and what's kind of new and important to know about. That event's Friday before our performance. And then they're going to come on over and they're going to do a postcard writing activity after our performance is over. So that's an incredible resource to us to have kind of that extra support and details about how to be an advocate, how to take action, letter writing, etc. So that's Friday. That's in addition to everything else happening on Friday.
Very cool.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Deb Colley for joining us today and Carolyn Yates, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
All right, it is coming right up on 4:30. This is KD&K. It's the Express Yourself Show. Stay with us. More to come.
Town's a town when you're upside down. You lay your bones on a bed. It's that easy to have a kind of home. Now where the money goes I know too well. Spreads out like the jobs I've worked so many. The hard days don't seem to end. Well I'm wasting time. Wasting time. And I only know one way to go to start again. Let it roll, let it roll down the banks of the Ohio. When you can't rely on what you make to pay the rent on time. So I'm going away down to the Fort Defio. All the way down there in Cairo, Illinois. I'm gonna stay. Say when the bottom falls out. You try to make amends with anybody that ever caused you pain. It's no fault of mine that it should end this way. And I won't apologize to anybody for a thing that I can't change. See, I'm used to being alone, used to being alone. See, it's the only way that I know how to get to where I'm going. Let it roll down the banks of the Ohio. When you can't rely on what you make to pay the rent on time. So I'm going away down to the Fort Defio.
That is Cairo, Illinois, performed by Brother Brothers. It is 4:35, and we are back. It's the Express Yourself Show. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, Brother Brothers, where art thou? Thou art here and now, prior to their gig tonight at Steve's Guitars. Adam Moss, welcome to KDNK.
Thank you.
David Moss, you too.
Thank you.
So you guys have some lovely music. You've been playing your brothers, your twin brothers, mm-hmm. aren't you? How about that? Have you been playing all your life?
Just about. We've been musical all of our lives.
And I want to start with a wonderful testimonial from Sarah Jarosz on your website. I have to read this because a lot of our listeners love Sarah Jarosz, and here's what she has to say about you guys. While they're technically a new band, the Brother Brothers have been in this together for life, and their familial connection comes through in the music, hearkening back to some of the greatest family harmonies ever made. They approach their poignant and often charming songs with an almost startling sense of ease, and the tight harmonies are enough to send shivers down anyone's spines. Their ability to pull the listener into their quietly energetic musical journey is a joy to behold. I can't wait to be out on the road with Adam and David and hear their heart-wrenching songs and spot-on harmonies night after night. Wow. That's impressive.
A bit long-winded if you ask me.
Yeah, how much did you pay her for that? No, just kidding. That's really cool to have somebody like her say that. How about that? How did you connect with Sarah?
Well, she lives in New York, and so do we. So being in the music community there, we just have crossed paths many times. And she ended up at our first show. We were playing at this tiny little venue, and along with this band called the Stash Band out of Boston. She went to school with all those guys. So she ended up there, and she heard us and liked it.
So did you end up touring, opening for her?
Well, we opened for her last year in July, and we've done a bunch of dates opening for her all over the place. And we're about to do a really long run down Tucson to Houston, Texas.
With her?
We're doing like 10 dates with her, in October.
Nice. October. Yeah. Well, I see you're also playing numerous festivals.
We are, yeah.
Yeah, including Kerrville.
Playing Kerrville, Appaloosa Festival, and we're actually on our way to Fayetteville Roots right now.
Oh, how about that?
So, yeah, that's next weekend. So.
And I see you're also involved in the Americana Fest, which is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. Have you been to one of those yet?
No, it's our first one. We've only been a band for about a year. We were identical twins and couldn't get along well enough until now, so... But now we're adults and we get along and we talk out our problems. It's wonderful.
Well, it's a great way to connect with the radio world, the Americana world. You know? I've been to one of those and it was just jaw-droppingly great.
Cool. Right.
From the perspective of a radio person going to that, just the opportunity to see all these bands live on stage is really a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but we hope it goes well.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty crazy, I think. There's a lot of people trying to get noticed, so we're probably just going to chill and try to sing well.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think all you guys have to do is be yourselves. Mm. Based on the videos that I watched of you. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'd love to hear a tune. You have your guitar and your fiddle. Let's do it.
We're going to play a tune called Bird in a Tree. It's an ode to the tree in Brooklyn.
And the bird in it.
Ready?
1, 2.
Bird in a tree, what you doing way up there? Why do you sing, why do you sing? Are you looking for your lady fair? Did you fly away to another tree? Do you not know where she hides? All day you sing the same old songs, must be hard to find. Bird in a tree, what's it like to be able to fly? I figure if I had wings like you, not a waste a day go by. I'd fly above the mountaintops, I'd do barrel rolls and dives, and I'd snack upon the wiggly worms and be happy all my life. Summertime after such a lovely spring, are you afraid to come the winter? You'll be left in the cold and lonely. Bird in a tree, who taught you to sing so well? Do you know that I am listening, brother bird? Can you even tell? And though your love might be far away, even in another town, you sing your song all through the day in case she comes around. Getting wide. Soon the night will come and the morning won't be for a while. So fare thee well, dear friend of mine. What a pleasure, I must say. We both should probably get some sleep. Tomorrow's another day.
That's magnificent. Sarah was right. Tight harmony sending shivers down your spine. Holy moly. Does that come from a lot of rehearsal? Where does that come from?
I think a little bit of both. I do remember very much all the time singing with Adam, and we just sang in the back of the car, and I can tell you it was probably even more than we thought it was, because our brother he's blocked it out of his mind. Because he used to get so annoyed.
Oh,
so
really?
We used to sing a lot when we were kids. So I think it's just, you always have someone to practice with. You get pretty good at singing harmonies, I guess.
Do you remember what you were singing? Were you singing Beatles?
Lots of Everly Brothers, too. Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And we used to just make up harmonies to everything, even when we were young. That's kind of we figured out how to do it, and then just started doing it with everything, which I'm sure is intensely annoying if you really like a song that doesn't have harmonies in it.
Figured out how to do it. There's a lot involved in that easy statement. Tell me more.
We were kids. I don't know. It's just
you learn an Everly Brothers tune, and you learn what that is, and then you learn a Beatles tune, and you learn how they're doing their harmonies, and then I don't know. Huh. Like once you start having an ear for it, you just can kind of do it.
Yeah.
Learn how it works.
Huh.
Just my brain understands it, I guess. I don't know. Understood it at a young age.
So you're probably familiar with that 10,000 hours rule.
Oh, yes. Very much
so. Sure. I'll bet you have 10,000 hours in already.
Who knows?
I'm sure we do. Can't imagine we don't. It's a lot of hours.
Yeah, it is. But still, you know, that kind of seamless harmony does not come easy. There's a lot behind that. And kudos to you for making it look easy. Yeah. So on your website, which, by the way, is The Brothers Music.
TheBrotherBrothersMusic.com.
Those pictures of two young boys.
Yeah.
Are those you guys?
Yeah,
indeed. Are they really?
We need to update our website.
Well, there's a good one of you guys in New York, too. But
yeah.
I'm assuming it's New York.
It's actually in his backyard.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's a backyard in Brooklyn?
That where the tree is that I was singing, we were just singing about.
I'm shocked.
I know. Like, yeah. It's the most beautiful tree, and it's the most, and there's a whole block in square, and the buildings just go down, and every single one has a backyard,
uh-huh.
and there's a bunch of trees right in the middle, and that's a very Brooklyn experience. There are a lot more trees than you think there would be. There still could be more, but there are definitely trees, especially in Brooklyn.
It sounds kind of ridiculous. In Colorado saying that there's trees in Brooklyn, but
that's cool. Well, I know there's several really great parks.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Indeed. Definitely. Yeah.
So tell me a little about the Brooklyn scene. What's that like?
Oh boy.
The music scene.
It's vast and expansive. The only thing it doesn't really have is the Colorado scene, to be honest.
Huh.
I feel like there's the Brooklyn scene, there's the LA scene, there's the Nashville scene, and those are all kind of doing the same thing, everybody's industry. And then there's this like whole music scene in Colorado that's, everybody listens to music in Colorado and they like their music. I feel like bands like Elephant Revival and Leftover Salmon, all these jam bands are like really killing it. And like we see them at the festivals and we hang out with them, but like, I don't know, you guys really got something special here.
Huh.
It's cool to come visit it.
Huh.
This has been his topic of conversation the whole time we've been here. Yeah. Just hanging out with different people and seeing old friends. Yeah.
This is your first visit in Carbondale.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. We actually came as the Brother Brothers, but we came through. We used to play with Anais Mitchell in her Hadestown Orchestra.
Okay.
And we did... Oh,
they
man,
played at Steve's. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. She did a special thing at Steve's.
Yeah.
And then we played at the like a community center as well,
uh-huh.
in a theater. And I remember a teeter totter, I want to say, but we drove in and we hung out there all day and then it got dark. And that was basically my Carbondale experience.
Life on the road.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you've sort of bounced around the country, and I know that because one of Katie and Kay's staffers lived in Wimberley, Texas.
Oh yeah,
nice.
And he knew you guys when you were in Green Mountain Grass and Blue Hit.
Yeah, that's right.
So you sort of bounced around.
Who's the staffer?
Cody Lee. Do you remember Cody?
Of course, yeah.
Well, he might be there tonight.
All
he
right,
said, I've got to go see him now because he didn't know you guys were going to be there.
Awesome.
So you remember that.
Yeah.
He told stories about you guys hooking up with Grace from the Deer and several other bands that he was watching and part of.
Totally.
And Jesse, who was also in Green Mountain Grass, is also in the Deer.
Yeah. That's our old crew. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, totally.
So you went from the Hill Country to Brooklyn.
Exactly.
With probably a few stops in between.
Not really. He stopped in Boston.
Yeah.
Boston.
And stopped in Boston.
Were you in Berkeley? No.
No.
Uh-huh.
I went to go take lessons, but I never actually got a lesson.
Just the subway.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd love to hear another tune.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Tugboats.
If you just joined us, we have the Brother Brothers live in the studio before their gig tonight at Steve's Guitars.
Well, here's a song called Tugboats, and it's kind of, when I moved to New York City, it was kind of the experience that I had. I worked at a bar and got out really late, and I would go sit by the water and stare at the city. So that's this song. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Down a ways, I'm
it's easy to tell. So I walk to the train, works just as well. Might do some good to sit down for a spell. Nor was she a diamond, but sure she was perfect for a place and time. No, I can't say she loved me, I can't say I was her only, but what I know now is that she's doing fine. I'm tired of love, I'm tired of the little things. Are you to blame? I'm tired of paying my dues like their taxes. Who are you to blame? About a hill under the Brooklyn Bridge, I tend to end up down there with a case of the spins. See, it's always in the morning, just before the sun breaks. Oh, there's something about the tugboats when the hour's late. You see, tugboats don't get tired, they just have to go slow. But ain't that the way you pull a heavy load? Yeah, they purr and they putter. That's what they're made to do. Down and ahead until the labor's through. I'm tired of love, I'm tired of the little things. Who are you? Tired of paying my dues like their taxes. Who are you to blame?
That is truly beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. How does the writing process work for you guys?
So far, we're just doing stuff on our own. We don't quite have a dynamic yet.
Uh-huh.
Which we keep trying, testing the waters, and we're going to figure it out someday.
Okay. But
so far, Adam's, on this next album, Adam's probably got 3 on the album, and I probably got about 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then we invited a bunch of friends, not invited, we asked a bunch of friends if we could use their songs, and they were more than happy, and we're very excited about that.
That's
so we got
great.
Some good songs from good friends.
That's great. Yeah. I think we have enough time for one more. Let's not talk. Let's listen.
Sure. Yeah.
Should we do Notary Public?
Sure. Okay.
We're gonna do one of my songs now.
Here's where I get my pick out. Hold on.
A notary public, 'cause I think I'm gonna sign away my heart again. I didn't read the tiny writing, I just blindly signed the bottom of the page, and then she spent my money, paid no interest in my love, and now she's leaving me alone again. I need a notary public, 'cause I don't think I got the will to love again. Don't need a doctor or a lawyer to get out of this particular predicament. Need some buddies, job it is to oversee the signing of important documents. You see, I didn't see the signs, and I was ignorant to think our love was heaven sent.
I need a notary public if I'm ever gonna get back all the love I lend. Signs when I was sleeping with the one I should be sleeping on, and if love's a dotted line, then it was broken from the start. We put the horse behind the cart when I signed away my heart. I need a notary public, cause I think I'm gonna sign away my heart again. I didn't read the tiny writing, I just blindly signed the bottom of the page, and then spent my money, paid no interest in my love, and now she's leaving me alone again. I need a notary public, cause I don't think I got the will to love again. I need a notary public.
That's a good one. Yeah, you guys are great.
Thank
Keep
you.
It up, man.
Well, that's the plan.
You're really on to something.
Thank you.
Yeah. It sounds really good. You've been listening to the Brother Brothers playing live here in the studios, playing tonight over at Steve's Guitars. Yay. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
We're very excited.
Yeah. Well, it's really happy or really nice to have you guys come in. I'm so happy that you dropped by.
Yeah, we're
Thanks
glad
for having us.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, stay with us. We are coming up on the news. That's coming up soon. Brother Brothers over at Steve's. Go check them out.